We now enter the time where we listen for the word of God. And so I pray for illumination for all of us on God's word. Spirit of God, you breathe everywhere within us, as you have from the very beginning, filling light places and dark, green earth, muddy earth, and dry earth. You renew the face of the earth. We ask you, Lord, to break through our resistance as we listen to your holy word. Give us the assurance that God's love grows, fullness upon fullness, wherever we crumble enough to open our hearts and minds. Amen.
Our Old Testament readings today come from the book of Genesis. The Lord God took the man Adam and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Then the Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the air and every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and as he slept, then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord has made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of all the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves.
Today's gospel reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, which can be found on page 785 in your pew Bibles. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my salvation. Amen. In today's readings, there's a lot of temptation and testing going on. In the first reading, we've come to think of the serpent as Satan. But it's not Satan, it's just a talking snake. A crafty snake, a troublemaker. And this story is, of course, not history, but a folktale that explains a really confusing question. If God is so creative and powerful, why did he make the world so hard for us? The story tells us that when life was perfect for us, we didn't make very good choices. We were impetuous. We were naive. Like children, we were happy being naked. We had no sense of our own limitations. Adam and Eve may have made a mistake by eating that apple, but if they didn't eat it, if they didn't eat the apple, we would only have like 2 pages in our Bible. My sense is that God kicks them out of the Garden of Eden and removes the tree of life from them because they're immature. Maybe that's because I'm a mom with children who are 16 and 20 and 35. Maybe that's why I think this might have been a good thing. When I was growing up, all the really rambunctious, impulsive kids got scared straight at death-defying adventures like Outward Bound. I wished I could have been bad enough that my parents would have sent me to Outward Bound. If that didn't work, they signed up for the military. They're still signing up for the military. And just like Adam and Eve, exiled into the wilderness, into the beyond, into the real world, in order to grow up. And I believe that the tree of life is not really totally taken away. I believe we find the tree of life right in Psalm number 1. Psalm number 1 says, "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, like the serpent, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers," those mocking people. "But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate night and day. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper." The people of God, as they meditate, discuss, concern, wonder about God's law. And the word the psalmist used is Torah. It's like the most important word that's not in the first 5 books, but is always about referring to them, the Torah, the first 5 books, supposedly written by Moses. So we could consider God's people contemplating the first 5 books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and all the learning and experience and suffering that's found in these books. The people themselves, as they meditate on them, have transformed. As a group, they've become a kind of tree of life. The wilderness can do that for us. When you're withdrawn from all the things we take for granted, your house, supermarkets, cars, heat, water, flush toilets, yes, you suffer a lot, as I make my family suffer, like every other year I can get away with a camping trip. But also, it's a way to start over. when you go in the wilderness. It's a chance to rebuild your life. And I think when I propose those wilderness vacations for my family, I'm hoping that we start over again with new meaning and new care and finding each other again in the wilderness. The first man is pretty inert. He doesn't even have a real name. He's called Adam, but that's not a name. It's not a Hebrew name. It just means man. And it's really close to the same word as clay, Adama, the earth. Inert, like the earth. There's nothing very special about him. He names animals, but he doesn't develop any kind of special relationship with them or with God. He's kind of like a moving figure formed out of clay. He doesn't even speak until something miraculous happens. Eve is created. And he doesn't really know that she comes from his side, but God probably left a good cesarean mark for him in his rib. And that's when he speaks. And she's the one who causes all the trouble. She's the one who's attracted by the idea of knowing more. People have used this story to bash Eve and to bash women, but Eve is the one who's attracted by the divine spark, wanting to know more. Genesis reminds us that life without a struggle means life without all kinds of learning, life without wrestling with God, questioning God. The Psalms are full of questions for God. How can we know God if we don't really question God? All the patriarchs question God. Abraham, Moses, Jesus, they all question God. We have to question God. We have to be in a relationship with God. If God gives us everything, then what do we have to ask God for? Adam didn't have to ask God for anything. Getting kicked out of Eden was hard. It makes life hard. It makes life heartbreaking. It makes us vulnerable as eggshells. Why does childbirth hurt so much? Why do women die in childhood? Why do babies die before they're born? Why are we so delicately made? Why is our life so easily extinguished? Why do we die at all? Why does dying have to hurt so bad? Why does it sometimes have to take so long? Why is it so hard to make a living, an everyday living? Why are there droughts? Why is the land barren? Why does everyone hate snakes? It's March, Women's History Month. And to me, this story is about asking, if women are so smart, which clearly the authors knew, why are men in charge of everything? I think it's a question that we're invited to ask. Entering the wilderness, getting kicked out of Eden, it seems like a punishment, but maybe it's a lot more like tough love. It enables men and women to wrestle with one another and to get to know God and to write amazing books that have lasted through unbelievable torment. The wilderness is the very first place that the Holy Spirit sends Jesus after his baptism. After the heavens have opened up above the Jordan River, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Immediately, Matthew says, the Spirit led Jesus up into the wilderness. The Greek word is the same one you would use to dispatch a fleet. He's ordered up into the wilderness. This is a hardship for Jesus. It's a trial, but it's also a very good thing because it results in Christ's ministry to the world. Jesus has been infused by the power of the Holy Spirit, and his power and ministry is not firmly fixed within him until Jesus says no to Satan for 3 times. Will you misuse God's power to satisfy the needs of your body? Satan asks. Will you misuse God's power to satisfy the needs of your ego? Satan asks. Will you misuse God's power to satisfy your need for global domination? Jesus has transformed into the wilderness when he says no to all that. He transforms into an instrument not of his own will, but of God's will, an instrument of God's peace and love. Only after Jesus says no to all these tests is he able to begin his ministry, taking on the mantle that had been ripped from John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Those are Jesus' first words, and they are the last words of John the Baptist. Full of God's Spirit, clearly defined against the temptations of power, Jesus begins from the position of a wilderness prophet, the one, John the Baptist, who's about to be beheaded by Herod, as Jesus himself will walk in those steps and will be executed. And so Alex Ritter has presented for us a cross in the wilderness. This is where our work is going, to wrestle with the cross. The wilderness is a treacherous place. It's full of risk and death and danger and the unknown. But if we don't go into the wilderness, if we stay in the comfort of our own homes and in our old habits, there's no telling what we're missing out there. And there's no telling how God would walk with us if we tried new things. So this is what Lent is about, to find a little bit of wilderness in our own lives and to challenge ourselves to walk into an unknown space where new possibilities and new ways of serving God are yet to be discovered. One way we can do this is by removing a habit. And so I developed a really bad habit here in my first year as a pastor. I would work really hard writing and organizing, and then I would go home and I'd be exhausted and I would turn on the TV and I would fall asleep. It's a terrible habit, because then when I woke up to go to my real bed, then I was wide awake because I was used to the sound of the TV, and that's what my body had patterned on. So what I'm giving up for Lent is sitting in front of the TV when I'm exhausted at night. And I'm afraid. I'm afraid that I won't be able to turn off all the things I want to do with God here in the church. But I have to somehow allow myself to have those moments of quiet. I have to sit with the discomfort of not having finished things. And I have to learn how to go to sleep with God taking care of me instead of Fox and CNN. I think it's going to be a good thing. I'm trying to realize that God may be trying to reach me in these more reflective evening moments. Or maybe my family would like to reach me instead of watching me be mesmerized. Lent can be a wonderful time of self-reflection. We too can follow Jesus. We can look at ourselves in the mirror. Which parts of our personalities do we want? Which parts are getting in our way? What are the coping mechanisms that we have developed that keep us from being challenged? Do we need to make a change on our job? Look for more fulfilling work? Do we need a change in a relationship? Do we need to be more honest and let the chips fall where they may? Or maybe the challenge we need is a new component of service. Maybe we realize we're always ready to help our family and friends, but we no longer push ourselves to meet strangers or help people we don't know. I think that's hard. Every time I go to a place where I have to be with strangers, the older I get, the more anxiety I feel. The wilderness of Lent, these 40 days or 6 or so weeks, is a time to sit with these questions. What is keeping us from having a closer relationship with God? Can we identify one habit or one new practice that would lead us into uncharted territory where we feel that God's Holy Spirit might be calling us? Because We're really only in the wilderness if we really open ourselves up to the unknown. Pray with me. Holy Spirit, thank you for all the wilderness stories in the Bible. During these 40 days of Lent, help us see that the wilderness is a place where we can be gently challenged. Remind us that you always go wherever we go, especially when we are searching for you as our God. Amen. Friends, our second hymn, We Will Be More Reflective.